What is God up to in the world? Why does it seem at times as if my life has no rhyme or reason? The truth of the matter, according to the Bible, is that God definitely has an agenda, a purpose for your life. And He's closer to being on target than you think He is. In fact, the Bible actually promises it in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible teaches, be confident, or being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is going to happen. God has a purpose. You be confident. He has an agenda. Your life seems a mess. It seems out of control. It doesn't make sense. God has an agenda for you. But what is that agenda? Well, I'm going to back out of that thought for just a moment and talk to you a little bit about military. You know, you're in the Army now. At least some of you have been in the Army or the Air Force or Navy or Marines or one of the branches of military service. And you've taken an oath when you entered at, they say MEPS, or Military Entry Processing Station. I think I got that out right. I'm not a military person myself, but I'm going to play one today on Sunday morning, all right? All right, so imagine yourself that you're joining the military. You take an oath of allegiance to your country and to the Constitution, and that you're going to serve your country faithfully. And we've had several in our church do that just recently. It's been about 4 years ago. Grace Daugherty shipped off with the Navy. She's now outside of Norfolk, Virginia, and she's serving our country. And James, her older brother, is in Lemoore, California, serving. Now, Lemoore is close to nothing, all right? I was looking at Lemoore this week, trying to help James find a church. It is close to nothing, all right? It's kind of triangulated between, what is it, Fresno in the north and Visalia, and then on the west, yeah, I think maybe the closest thing is Palm Springs. I don't know. It's just nothing is close. All right. It's just in the middle of nowhere. And that's where James is stationed serving. Hey, and Kayla is going to be shipping off for the Navy pretty soon in early November. And she's waiting to. Hey, but, you know, all of them joined the Navy, incidentally. Grace and James and Kayla. And they all got are getting shipped off to the Great Lakes Naval Boot Camp Station. And so that's where they're headed. And they're going to be up there in, Kayla is where it's freezing cold in November. All right. And she's going to go through boot camp just the same way that Grace and James and several other military people, you've gone through that 8 weeks of vigorous training and PT training and mental training. And So the Gomer Piles in here have experienced at some point or another running into Sergeant Carters, if you can follow the imagery, right? And so, hey, but we understand, right, that that's kind of how it has to go. If we're going to whip a soldier into shape, then he's going to need a little bit of training. And so we're going to have him go through boot camp. And on top of that, when boot camp ends, most every other position involves some kind of training school. And then you get shipped off from the Great Lakes and you go to Texas or Florida or California and you go to some kind of training school. And you could be in there for a period of weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, several months, depending on the kind of training that you're getting. But we all understand, hey, that kind of rigorous training is absolutely crucial to getting a person ready to serve their country, and not just to serve their country, but to survive on the battlefield should they be called upon. They will be ready. Now, you can follow that imagery. It's something we can all appreciate in our culture. But I want to tell you that you're in the army of the Lord. And I want to explain to you that you have responsibilities too that God wants you to do and perform in His service. And in order for you to do it well, He's going to involve you in some training. You're going to have to go through some boot camp. And you might have to go to a training school. And you might think, well, no one ever told me about that. Or maybe that in your life, that really has never been a priority with you. I mean, you did the God thing. You connected. You picked up the phone. You talked to God. You said, yeah, I believe the Jesus stuff. And so you call yourself a Christian. But maybe nobody else told you that there are kind of some strings attached. When you take the oath of loyalty to Jesus Christ, you don't get to go back home and just do your own thing. that there are responsibilities that come with being a soldier in God's army. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about the next purpose that God has for you in the series I'm doing on God's great purposes for your life. And so far, we have identified two great purposes. Let's bring them up now. God's purpose is to save you. It is to sanctify you. And today, number three, it is to skill you. God's purpose is to skill you for a life of service, not in the military, but in God's kingdom. God wants to skill you in some way of service, and he's always been interested in that for your life. So he's in the business of taking each new convert. Maybe you are a new convert, or relatively a newbie to Christianity. God wants to take you and train you for spiritual service. That's what our text is about, and I'm about ready to read now, and I'm going to encourage you to follow along. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So what is this passage teaching? How is it that God is going to skill us for service? What is he using to get us ready to serve him in some capacity? Well, I'm about to show you two things that I think are absolutely critical and essential to your life of service for the Lord Jesus. But this point before I move on, since God invests a lot in your training, he must want a lot from you in your serving. Did you get that? Since God has invested so much in training you for service, he must want you to do a lot when it comes to serving. Now, what is the training methods? What styles does he use? Or steps, ways? Let's talk about the first. And the first is coming up on the screen now. Holy men. God uses holy men to equip you. If you're following in your outline, in the program today there is an outline, and you're welcome to fill in the blanks if you choose to follow that way. But holy men God gives us to equip us. This is what this verse says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. God, Christ specifically, we know that from verse 7, Christ gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Four different offices are mentioned here. They're on the screen in front of you right now. They're apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. The apostles were the 12 men commissioned by the Lord to proclaim Christ to the world following his death and resurrection. And they did a good job of it because you, even in America, heard about Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. They got the job done. All right? Prophets. These were Old Testament and New Testament preachers. They preached the truth, gave instruction about God. Evangelists, these two were sent by God to proclaim the gospel to every part of the earth. Philip was among the evangelists. He is mentioned in the book of Acts. He is preaching the gospel and carrying it to Samaria and to the Ethiopian eunuch in the desert. Then you have pastors and teachers. The last office, pastors and teachers, doesn't have a new article in front of it like the rest of the words in this verse. So it probably is referring not to two different offices, but to pastors who also do teaching. I think I'm in that category. Pastor means to shepherd or take care of the flock. And part of that responsibility is teaching. And so God gave these offices to the church. Now, it's interesting, Paul mentions four of them, but we actually think that two of them have passed off the scene or have worked themselves out. Paul is writing in a transitional time where the church is just in its infancy and it's leaving Judaism behind and it's marching on to full-fledged Christianity. And so apostles were given by Christ and prophets had gone all the way up through John the Baptist, who had been the last of the Old Testament-style prophets. But then evangelists come along and they're doing what the apostles did. They're continuing to spread the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection. And the pastors and teachers are following in the veins of the Old Testament prophets in revealing God's truth or instruction to mankind. And I really believe that. We do not believe that there are any living apostles today. Not this church, maybe in another church that you might run into, this is Apostle so-and-so, and this is Apostle so-and-so. But according to the book of Acts in chapter number 1, an apostle had to see the risen Christ and had to travel with him during his 3 years of ministry. You want the reference on this? This is Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. There are no living people today who have seen the risen Christ. And I'll just stand right here on the platform and say that because I believe that without a doubt. Nobody has seen the risen Christ, and we won't until we cross over from this life into the next. There are no living apostles today. I do believe the prophets, the Old Testament prophets who got special visions from the Lord before the Bible was finished so they could declare God's truth to people who didn't have the Bible in their hands. Those two have passed off the scene. The completed scriptures have given us all the messages that God wanted us to have. So no prophets today. They have passed off the scene in their place, evangelists and pastors and teachers. It's interesting to me, and I've taken a little time to explain these offices, but all of them involve some kind of proclamation or teaching. And that's interesting. Paul is saying to the church, God's given you these offices, and these offices are primarily based on teaching. That leads us to letter A on your outline. Why has God given us holy men? He's given them to equip us through teaching. God gives holy men to teach us. Because can we logically move through this in our minds? The obvious conclusion is that in God's mind, what you most need is more teaching. Because he's giving you teachers. Because you need to be taught. Otherwise, God would have given you some other office. But all of these offices are involved in communicating God's truth, giving you instruction from the Lord. And one of the ways that God is doing that is through these men who are teaching you what you need. It's not much unlike the boot camp military system, right? They send you off. They put you under some other guy or a team of guys or gals who are telling you this is the way you need to think. When you're in the military, this is the way. I don't care what your mother told you at home. This is the way we do it here. Now, I got a feeling that's kind of how they do it there, right? They want you to think a certain way. Why? Because eventually, when you're on the battlefield, they want you to behave a certain way. And God, in his ministry to us, is saying, you need teachers so that you learn how to behave the right way in your service for Christ. So God gives us these teachers, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which I believe are the functional offices for the church today. No person then can be equipped for service without the benefit of a pastor teacher to equip him. Now I want you to think about how valuable teachers have been in your life. I bet many of you in this room can remember a Sunday school teacher who took you under her wing or his wing and just said, let's spend some time together. Or let me explain this portion of the Bible. Or let's read this verse together and memorize it together. And maybe it wasn't a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a Bible study leader. Maybe it was a Christian neighbor who took you under their wing. Maybe it was a pastor who came to you at a time of need, but he ministered to you, he was teaching you, or she was pulling you along after Jesus. Chances are there wasn't just one person like that in your life. There's been a whole series of them. A little train. And God has sent so-and-so into your life at certain times. I look back on my life and I see stages of this. You know, Sunday school, something called Eager Beavers. Like, wait, how many can remember? Anybody in this room remember what an Eager Beaver is, all right? About three of us, all right? All right, that's way back, all right? Eager Beavers, Sunday school, Eager Beavers. And then in high school, I had a teacher in a Christian school that mentored me for about 2 years. Then I went off to college, and I've been separated from him for many years. But at that particular time, he was just what I needed. In college, new friends, new teachers. And then since then, pastors. And the same thing's happened to you. God has moved you through different people and different teachers. He's trying to pull you along in the boot camp of life so you're ready to serve him in some way. So God uses holy men, and I'll add women too, to equip us for Christian service. This is the way God works. You get tired of teaching. Some of you are already tired. You're sleeping. It's time to wake up. You get tired of teaching? Man, all you guys ever do down there is have preaching and teaching services. Don't you guys ever do anything fun? Hey, you know, we do fun things around here from time to time. We do have fellowship times or potlucks, or we go on some activity or outing. We've done hikes, and we've visited trains, and we've seen museums together. We've done but those are diversions, not the main discipline. The main discipline is teaching. Why? Because God gave you apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and evangelists, because you need to be taught. So do I. I mean, I'm not pointing my finger at you. We're all in this together, right? God knows we need teachers if we're really going to grow up in the faith. I'm glad you come to listen to me every week, but even I can't teach you everything. I'm not smart enough. No one teacher is. You need the benefit of all the teaching you can get. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came. You made my day just by being here. But you know, you really would be profited if you thought about coming another time to a teaching session in our church. Come out for a Sunday night Bible study or one of our midweek Bible studies for ladies and men. Or maybe you decided when you saw in the announcements, you know, I don't come at 9:30, but can it really be that hard to get to church 1 hour earlier? Can that really be that hard? Maybe I can learn something more. And if I really want to get with God and get good with this and kind of advance through the ranks, then I'm going to not just think, what's the minimum commitment level for a Christian? Yeah, Sergeant, what's the minimum amount of time I can give to the military while I'm on duty? What's the minimum? That's not going to go over big. And so we ought to be thinking the same way. Man, when I got Jesus, I got in with both feet. I don't know what happened to you, but both feet got in. And I was all in. And you know what? I'll tell you this. My family didn't go to all the services. But even before I could drive, my church was right across the street, so I didn't have... I went because there was something in my heart that said, teaching. I don't know the Bible well. I don't know Jesus well enough. I don't know God well enough. I want more! And if you have that kind of spirit in your heart, you'll be looking for ways to get teaching because this is how God builds up his body and equips us for service. And I'm ready to move on. He equips us through teaching for this purpose, to equip us for service. The Bible says in verse number 12 of our text that these teaching men are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God wants to perfect. That's the King James word here, perfect us. The word means to be fully furnished or complete. It actually is even used in the Gospels to refer to the mending of nets, to restore, to make them worthy to hold fish. And so God wants to perfect you or restore you and give you everything you need. In fact, he says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Jesus told his disciples, is that on the screen? Where are we? We need to keep moving. Letter B. Next scripture. I think we're two scriptures down. Next one. There we are. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. The word perfect in this verse is the same one in our text. The desire for the disciple then is to become like his master, fully outfitted to do the job. So it's just showing us God's purpose is to take holy men and to fully furnish you, restore you, make you what you need to be for his service. God invests in you so he can get something, are you there? Out of you. Now you think about this. The military is worth to, it does a whole lot to invest in its recruits. Sometimes there are signing bonuses. I remember Glenn Witkin one time telling me, you know, if I sign up for the reserves now, I not only get my monthly pay, but they're going to give me a signing bonus. And it was in the neighborhood of $8,000 or $10,000. I was like, whoa, well, that's pretty nice. They're trying to do all they can to get people in, right? And they're willing to invest. Sometimes in order to get an officer, they'll send him away for 4 years and let him get his college education with this little catch, right? that you've got to come back and give us 4 or 6 or 8 years, depending on your field of training and your expertise. So God is investing in you. Get something out of you. So if God has given you a church, and He's given you a pastor teacher, and He's given you Bible studies, and He's given you education, it isn't so you can just suck up and go out and live your own life. It's so that you would turn around and do something for His kingdom. The way the military works, the way God works, God is expecting something. He's equipping you, perfecting the saints. The verse says, verse number 12, for the work of the ministry, it's your job. Don't miss the point then. God is investing because He's planning to get something out of you. Sadly today, some Christians just don't get this. They still think it's someone else's job or responsibility to get the work done. Next slide. Let someone else do it. Well, let's bring up the first photo. Well, you know, I got young kids right now. Man, I hardly have a free hand, let alone a free minute. You know, you'll just have to find someone else, pastor, to get the job done. And so we check our name off the list, you know. Someone else says, you know, I used to serve the Lord, but, you know, I'm just kind of old and cranky now. I put in my time, and it's time for these younger people to sign up. Time for these younger people to get busy doing something for God. Sorry, pastor, can't count on me. Next picture. Well, pastor, I've started my own business. It's all I can do to stay awake and get my job done. I mean, I really just don't have any free time for God right now. But when I do, I mean, you'll be the first person I call. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a while. I've heard it all. I've heard all kinds of reasons why God can equip you, why He can train you, but you're absolutely not qualified to serve in any way. And that's a logical disconnect. Scripture will not let you do that. He gave you these teachers to perfect the saints, that's you, so that you do the work of the ministry. If the work isn't getting done, that's because somebody that should be working is not. Are you serving in the capacity that God expects you to serve? If you're not working, you're missing out on God's purpose for you. Remember our big theme? God has purposes for you. One of those purposes is to skill you for His service. One thing He gives us is holy men of God. The second thing He gives us, we find in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to invite you to join me there. I have some of these scriptures on the screen, but not all. Point number two, Holy Spirit to empower you. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7 speak of the charismata or the gifts of the Spirit. Unfortunately, because of charismaticism, many of us have only heard of two spiritual gifts: the gifts of tongues, people who babble, and people who get on TV and claim that they can heal. Some of us think that's all the spiritual gifts that we're given, because that's all we hear about. And honestly, that's just a real travesty. In fact, God gave a lot more gifts than these, and when He gave them, He put tongues and healing near the bottom, and He did list them in rank or order. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, if you haven't seen this verse and you want to talk to a charismatic, you ought to have this verse with you, memorized, all right? God has set some in the church. This is how He sets them up and places them. First, number one, apostles. We believe these have passed off the scene. Secondarily, prophets, ended with John the Baptist. Thirdly, then, pastors, teachers, they come in. Importance. After that, further down on the list, that's how we would say it, further down on the list, you'll find miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments. And where do tongues find themselves? At the very bottom. All right, I'm not here to bash charismatics today, but actually the Bible teaches that tongues is not a necessary gift for every believer, as is taught in most churches that believe in the sign gifts and charismaticism. And it also puts tongues at the very bottom. More important are the teachers who are giving you the instruction of God's Word. All right? That's just a little bit aside. If you don't like that, that's okay. That's just what the Bible is saying. All right? You can read it. It does put tongues at the bottom of the list. And it orders them first, second, third, after that. That's what the Bible says. All right. So, having established that little distraction, where is my mind? Holy Spirit to empower you. How does He do this? Because you need... It's not just that you need a skill. You need the energy to do it. And the Holy Spirit is providing it. Letter A, His gifting. I think we're ready for letter A. Where is it? His gifting for service. His gifting for service. The Bible says... And I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7. Only verse 7 appears on the screen, but it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." The verse is saying the manifestation or the evidence of the Spirit is given to every person. God has given a gift to every person. And it's probably not tongues. The text makes it clear that this is so. So what gifts are we talking about? I'm going to ask you to flip with me over to Romans chapter 12. There are three lists in the New Testament. They don't all agree. They have some overlap. I'm going to pick the shortest for sake of time. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. I don't believe... I just have the first verse on the screen. Let's bring it up. The Bible says in Romans 12, 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, if prophesy, let us prophesy." Verse number 6, "According to the proportion of faith." Verse 7, "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Identified for us are several gifts. Here they are. First one, prophecy. This is the ability to preach or explain God's truth. The next one, the ministry or serving. It's helping those who have need. Next, teaching is mentioned here. That's making the scripture make sense. You know what it's like. You've been in churches and somebody's got up to talk about the Bible, and at the end, you had no idea where they went or what hunt they'd been on, and you were glad it was all over. All right. Some people have an ability to teach the scripture and some people don't. And you can probably pick that up in the first 5 or 10 minutes of someone talking. All right. That's a spiritual gift. That isn't because that person is something special. That's because the Holy Spirit gave the gift to enable a person to be able to do that. All right. Next. Here's mentioned exhorting. We don't use that word today. A couple hundred years ago, they would have. We would use the word encourager. Somebody comes and lifts you up and encourages you and keeps you going when you're about ready to quit. Next. Giving. Somebody with an unusual ability to go beyond and give more than is expected. God has given our church some people like that. They open up their wallet and they share. And when you think they're at the end, they have more to share. I bet you've known people like that in your family. Grandmas, aunts, uncles, you know, very generous people. This is actually a spiritual gift. Some people just have an ability to give. Some of us, when we open our wallet, we see the 50 and we have a hard time parting with it. Other people are like, "Let me get that out. It's been in there too long." This is a spiritual gift called giving. Next. Ruling. This is a person who has the ability to organize and lead other people in effective ways. And then lastly in this list, showing mercy. That's relieving people who are suffering or afflicted. Showing compassion to those who are hurting. These are spiritual gifts. These are not all the spiritual gifts. The point is to show you there is variety. Not everyone has the same gift, but we all have some gift. That's the promise of the scripture. You have something that you can share with others. This is God's purpose for you. He gave you a gift. Why? If He gave you a gift, what does He want you to do with it? He wants you to use it. This is one of His purposes for you as a Christian. We are talking about God's purpose. His purpose is to skill you so that you'll use it in His service. If you're not investing that in other people with the gift God has supplied, you're missing out on one of the biggest thrills God gives to humans. Do you realize this? You have the ability to touch a life for eternity through some action you do in time. Did I say that too fast? You have an ability to touch someone from eternity, in eternity, for eternity, with something you do in time. That's amazing. I mean, I can have that kind of impact? Well, if you're using your spiritual gift, absolutely. Maybe before today you didn't even know you had a gift if you're a Christian. Or maybe you still don't even know what that gift is. If you don't, I'd encourage you to talk to me. As a pastor, I kind of get a feel for some of this because I know you, but I can also ask you a couple questions that could lead you in the right direction. But you do have a gift, and you ought to be using it. It's the purpose for which God created you. I need to wrap this up. That clock always goes faster on Sunday morning. Your particular gifting also requires energy, and that's letter B of point number two, his power for service. The Holy Spirit gives you power. You have an endowment, you have a special ability, but you need his power to use it. We call it the empowering for service. And I get this from several verses. Let me give you one, Ephesians 3, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We're talking about the Holy Spirit empowering you for service. When you serve, you serve. When you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's as if God is serving through you. So one of the purposes of your life is to be a conduit, a channel, yea, even a glove through which God can express himself to other people. I've mentioned the name Corrie Ten Boom before. Some of you know her story, The Hiding Place. You've either seen the movie or read the book, in which Corrie talks about her family that lived in the Netherlands that was occupied by the Nazis during World War II. And Corrie and her family, her dad, a watchmaker, Casper Ten Boom, had a watch shop. And during the time of the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands, they stored or hid Jews in their home. They were eventually turned in by a neighbor, and and they were all incarcerated. Eventually, through the incarceration and the various concentration camps, Corrie ended up being the lone survivor from her entire family, the only one who got out and told the story of how the Nazis had treated her and her family. All they did was try to save the Jews in their country from the Holocaust. And they were successful in that endeavor, but at great price to themselves personally. After she was delivered from Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany, she returned to the Netherlands and began a preaching and teaching ministry in which she traveled. And she often liked to use just common, ordinary things to teach deep spiritual truths. And one of the things that she brought at one occasion was a glove. And she said, without the Lord in our lives, we're like a limp glove. Ineffective, unable to serve. But once the hand goes into the glove, then that hand can shake another hand or pick up the Bible and explain the scriptures or put an arm around somebody who's going through a hurt. And so it's Christ filling us that enables us to have an impact on other people. So it is with us today. We cannot have an impact on other people unless the Holy Spirit is filling us and empowering us for service. And so how does the Holy Spirit fill us? It's in direct proportion to our desire to remove sin out of us. The more clutter is in there, the harder it is to get the Holy Spirit into the glove. You've done this before, right? You've been out working in the yard, you get dirt in your gloves. Even worse, you get cactus prickers in your gloves. Groan. And those gloves are not very effective until the prickers come out and the dirt gets dumped out. And then you can put your hand in the glove again and use it. So it is with us. The longer we keep things that we know ought not be there, the less power we have for effective service. Empty out your glove so the Holy Spirit can fill it with himself. And then you can be effective in your service for Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. At the end of the day, it's God working in us, not what we were able to do ourselves. So be it teaching a Sunday school class, watching a nursery, singing a special, adjusting the sound, setting up chairs, purchasing supplies, or whatever it be that you do, the power is not in you. The power is God flowing through you. Otherwise, we're as limp as a glove. Let me finish today. Since God has invested so much in equipping and training you, he really must want a lot out of your service for him. Let me finish by telling you the story of a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. In fact, he's the first living receiver of the Congressional Medal of Honor since the Vietnam War. His name is Sal Gunta, and he, along with his platoon, were on outlook at an outpost on a ridge in Afghanistan when on the night of October the 25th in 2007, they were ambushed by an L-shaped ambush by the Taliban. As a result, his point man and friend Brennan was struck 8 times. The second man back in the line was struck 4 times, falling down. He was actually the 4th one back in the line of his platoon marching across that ridgetop when they were attacked in an L-shaped formation. Immediately in his mind, he went back to his training. And his basic training was told that if you're ever flanked in an L-shaped ambush, the only way to beat the ambush is to move forward. I'm not a military person, but I believe it. And so you know what he did? Against all odds, he moved forward. Another, I think it was the 3rd guy back, Gallardo, was struck and hit and actually had a bullet ricochet off of his helmet and kind of disoriented him. He went over to help the 3rd guy back, and as shots and a volley of fire, RPGs and were going off, and knowing the condition that he had, was getting fire from the west and also from the north, he advanced. He was struck in his body armor, pushing him back. I guess that somehow he turned and the gun on his back, the weapon on his back was shattered, and still he advanced. And as a result of their advance, they threw, he and some other fellows behind him, threw some grenades over to the west flank and charged forward but and pushed the enemy back. But still he didn't know where Brennan was, his buddy. The point man had been in the platoon, didn't know where he was. And so he paused for a moment and advanced some more and saw Taliban soldiers carrying his wounded buddy away. With under no protection, he took down one of the Taliban. The other guy who was carrying him dropped the body and took off. And that day he saved the life of a fellow comrade, and he saved his friend who actually ended up dying the next day from being carried off by the Taliban. As a result of that, his captain said he was going to be recommended for a Congressional Medal of Honor. And about 3 years later, on November 16th, 2010, he appeared in the White House, where he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor by then-President Barack Obama. And I told you all that because of something he said to a group of veterans when he was recounting the story that I just told you. This is what he said to the vets. Very insightful for us as we wrap up the message today. He said this: "I'm not a very smart guy. I haven't guided myself to the position I'm in. I've been mentored. I've been tutored. I've been taught along the way. I've been told to follow. I've been told to lead." What's he telling us? I did what I did not because I'm a special Superman. I was just following through on the training I had received. Friend, this is all God is asking anyone in this room to do. You have been trained. You have been taught. You have been given a gift. Don't sit on it. Go up and find your ridge and advance the cause of Christ through your skill. Let's pray.